Welcome. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. This is the show where brothers-in-law DJ Culp and Brad Coleman talk about stuff from our perspective as men. It's a show for anyone who wants to hear how Christians interact with the world. And don't worry, we're real. We've grown up in church, and we want to share our experiences with you. We'll talk life stuff, church stuff, man stuff, and stuff. Here we go. Greetings, listeners here and there and everywhere, all across the land. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. I am one of your hosts, DJ Culp, as always here with my beloved brother-in-law, Brad Coleman. Brad, what's up, man?
I don't look as good today.
I'm sorry?
I don't look as good today because my technology's not working.
Yeah, right. Your line's a little fuzzier, Brad. Are you feeling okay?
Yeah.
Anytime that you move your head, it's like you kind of blur for a second. So
technology is great when it works.
Yeah. Yeah. I learned early on in my teaching career that technology is awesome unless it's not. And if it's not, dude, it will ruin your day. And what sucks is I actually remember, I don't know what the lesson was, but I remember the very first time, cause it didn't take long. I think within the first 2 weeks, maybe, of me teaching public school starting back in 2009, I walked in and I was like, okay, I've got this planned out. I'm going to have a great lesson today. It's first year teaching, kind of didn't really know what was going on. And I don't remember what technology did not work, but it didn't work. And I thought, oh crap. I don't know what to do. I am rendered useless right now. And that's something that you don't learn, especially in our technology driven society, like in your educational curriculum. It's like technology this, technology that. But what happens when it fails you? Like,
you know what I learned as a pastor?
From the hip, man. What's
with,
that?
With doing sermons with PowerPoint, that if you don't have a PowerPoint, it can't mess up.
That's true. To play it safe, you don't use technology.
Yeah, that's right.
So to that point, I think we should probably need to sign off, Brad. What we'll do is we'll have a phone conversation, and you and I will just talk about stuff. You know,
you think Jesus had Peter just holding up like big cards,
cue cards?
Well, but for the audience, so everybody could see in the back. You know,
that's right.
Oh, he said, my peace. I was confused.
Yeah. During the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus not only had a scribe writing stuff down, but like they had a poster board and like the whole presentation. This is what he said. This is what he said.
Yeah.
Hang on, Jesus. The people in the back can't read this yet. That's funny. So listeners, when this drops, if you don't know this yet, I will have already made an announcement in our Facebook, on our Facebook group page. And I'll drop it in Instagram. We don't have a lot of following, in Instagram. I'm actually, Brad, I'm considering even closing down Instagram because I think we just don't have a lot of followers.
Wow.
But
well, I mean, DJ, Instagram's not about us. You can't just close down Instagram
because
we don't have followers. Yeah, we're just gonna close it down.
Close it down.
I didn't know you had that deep of pockets where you could just buy Instagram and change its name, Y or something else.
Yeah. That's true. X is already taken, right?
Yeah.
So, but no.
Yeah. Once you get to like start adding X's, it changes the
bad idea. Things.
Yeah.
Bad things happen. Or what is it? Is it Bilbo, I think, that said, and where darkness lies, bad things will follow. But no, what I'll do is by this point, when this episode drops, I will have already made an announcement in our Facebook group page and on Instagram that we will have a YouTube video page, YouTube channel. Sorry, there we go. That's my dinosaur talking. We'll have a YouTube channel. It will have already gone live, so we will have already been live for a couple days. So, listeners, if you weren't aware of that, you can head over to you can search Men Church Stuff in the YouTube search bar, and you'll find our channel. So again,
And with that, like us
yes,
and
like us.
follow
Yes,
us.
like. Thank you, Brad. Yeah, like and subscribe. Follow us.
Subscribe.
Yeah.
I know with YouTube dynamics that matters even more than
Than
some of these other
podcasting. Yeah.
podcasts. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Brad, let's get into our topic today. So our topic has to do with clinging to God's peace. And the really so listeners, I think I probably said this on the show before, that I've got a stack of bulletins from the church that we attend, and then I've got a running list, on a note on my iPhone of just topic ideas. So anything that our pastor says, during a sermon, if it's something in the bulletin that spawns an idea, what I'll do is I'll highlight it or I'll circle it and I'll just put in big capital letters "show." This one actually comes from not really the Christmas story, but we normally talk about it during Christmas. But it's comes out of Luke 2, where let me get to my Bible app here. Luke 2.
I gotta get into the groove of reminding myself that we're actually starting a YouTube. So
Yeah.
the
Yeah.
things that I do
I know. I'm the same way.
during the show.
Yeah. All right. So the cling to God's peace, and I'll just read kind of where this idea came from. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus, right, Joseph and Mary, to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are letting your bondservant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, light for the revelation for the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." And it says here, and his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and as a sign to be opposed, and as a sword, and a sword will pierce your own soul, but as a sign to be opposed, to the end that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And just to kind of give a little bit more of a specification as to where our pastor kind of went with this, I've got here written in the margin that peace is not the absence of obstacles and suffering, but it's the presence of Jesus in the midst of storms. So Brad, just kind of kick it off, sort of framing it that way. What are some what you know what's a time that sticks out to you in your life that you have experienced God's peace in that way?
A lot.
Cool.
And I think of the verse that says that for, God's peace, the peace that Jesus gives passes understanding. Right. So, as someone who deals with anxiety and depression, like sometimes that's a daily episode for me
Right.
of deep in my soul, deep in my being, there's peace. But on the surface, there's a lot more panic and anxiety. Like the things that I get anxious about, I acknowledge a lot of times aren't going to matter in 2 weeks.
Yeah, for this too shall pass.
Yeah, or like, oh, I have a meeting and I'm like so anxious about it. And I know even if it goes horrible,
Right.
it's going to be okay. because I have that peace that God has got me, that if the worst thing that the world looks that could happen to me is that I die, right?
Right.
And scripturally, that's the best thing that can
Right.
happen to me is I go home and be with Jesus. So I have that peace. But there's a lot of anxious turmoil and stuff that I deal with on a regular basis, and those. So I mean, as far as a example,
Yeah.
probably just walking through all of the struggle. Oh gosh, it was about 10 years ago now, where I was on a medication that was really messing with the way that I thought and the way that I was struggling with obsessive thoughts and wasn't realizing at the time that it was tied to this medication that I started taking.
Yeah.
But just I kept going, I kept praying. And it was one of the most difficult times of my life. And I've shared, one of the darkest times of my life. But I never felt abandoned by God. Even there were times when it's like, I
Yeah.
can't hear you, I can't feel you. Like
Yeah.
I like the, holding on to that truth that I know you hear me, and I know that the way that I feel right now is not truth. So I'm going to keep, talking to you about it and plugging on. And again, it was difficult. I don't want to downsize it. It was the darkest probably year to year and a half of my life. Almost destroyed my life in a lot of ways. And it was like it was a daily battle. And so in a lot of ways I lost my peace, but I still had the peace of God that no matter what,
Right.
even if all of these things, these struggles, all of these fears, all of this stuff came to fruition, that God had was gonna, take me home and welcome me home
Yeah.
at the end of my life. So
Dude, yeah, that's some really, really good insight, I think. That like when you said that I didn't have peace in necessarily the way that we think about it. Because normally I don't know about you, but I know for me it's a really, really big tendency on my part to try to define peace, even in that context, that we're talking about, as sort of just this the weight that has been lifted off and now everything is hunky-dory, I'm on cloud nine and I'm good. When in actuality, what you said was, I mean, it's so simplistic and it's true, but it's also profound. That I did not feel abandoned by God. God didn't actually leave me high and dry to kick me to the curb and until I kind of dressed myself back up and made myself what's the word? Made myself like not approachable, but help me out. I'm trying to think of the word.
I
Almost had
know.
it. But like. I've got to clean myself up before I can come to you. I'm trying to think of the word for
Right.
that. I don't know why I can't right now. But yeah, like I think it's really profound that
Presentable.
presentable. Thank you very much. Yes, that's the word I'm looking for. Because God doesn't require that of us because we actually can't do that. And yeah, I think it's really profound that you had that. I think for me, I mean, really, the thing that sticks out, I think, the most for me whenever I think about like the peace of the Lord, if I go through all of my life experiences, the day that I hung up the phone with the music education supervisor at the University of Mississippi. And the last thing that I really want to do, listeners, if you're new to the show, I teach at a small Christian university. If you're not new to the show, you will have known that I've got a doctorate from Ole Miss, doctorate in music. But the move, the process of the move, is really something that completely changed everything about my life, about Shara's life, about our marriage. about our relationship with each other. I mean, it was absolutely earth-shattering. So oftentimes I like a lot of life experiences, a lot of life experience can't really trump that, like what was happening at that season of our life. And so I got off the phone with the music education supervisor, and I knew in what he was saying, I knew he was telling me, you need to come down as a formality. We want you here. We're going to offer you money. You're accepted. Let's do it. I mean, I could tell that was the narrative, or at least that was the sense that I got. So when I hung up the phone, I was in our house at Murray, Kentucky, and I was in our living room, and I spoke these words out loud because I didn't know what else to do. And I said, God, if this is not your will, I need you to close the door. Because I knew all I had to do was say, yeah, let's do it. And it was a done deal. But I knew that there was so much tension in the whole process between both me and Shara, our tension, not just with each other, but our tension in life goals. I'm not going to necessarily say our tension with the Lord, though I definitely know that at that point in time, even she was having a lot of pushback. Or when I say she was having, she wasn't having pushback. She was the one pushing back. And she would say that. So like at that point in time, I was like, I really thought that phone conversation would have absolutely overcomplicated things for me. I just knew that this was going to make things even harder. And when I prayed, God, if this is not your will, I need you to close the door. There was like, I almost had a visual sense of God saying, you need to wait. You will be fine. And it was a sense of peace that really, I think in one of probably the only times in my life, Brad, that I've almost palpably been able to understand what you mentioned, out of Philippians 4, and the peace of God will surpass all understanding. That it was one of those moments where I was like, I have no idea why this is happening. I don't know where this is coming from, but I also have no other idea, no other choice than just hold on to it. And again, like you mentioned, I think it was really more of a not necessarily the sense that God was relieving me of weight, because I mean, at that point in time, I suppose he did a little bit, but I mean, like, I still had to tell Shara, hey, I know the University of Mississippi has not been in our radar and we haven't talked a thing about it, but and so as you mentioned, all of those variables were still very much at play. But the fact that I knew God was not abandoning neither me or our marriage gave me that sense of peace.
Well, and again, I think a lot of times we think of like the 23rd Psalms, you're right, the green pastures, still waters, that's peace, right? And then we go into the valley of the shadow of death or the valley of the deepest darkness, and that's not peace. So what's going on around us is not at peace. But we can be at peace. And we can be at peace in God even when we're not completely at peace in ourselves, if that makes sense.
No, n like, and I think, I don't know about you, but my rationality, God has just wired me to be very rational, very logical, and analytical. My rationality doesn't enjoy what you just said. My rationality really kind of hates that. I can't order the ducks in this row. It doesn't
That's
make
right.
any sense,
No, peace, no peace.
Nope. Yeah,
Not
right.
yes. Are
Right. Yeah.
you at
Ah. Ah.
peace?
No.
Yes and no. Are you at peace or not?
No.
Yes.
No. You have to explain this, I have to understand it.
Well, and I think too, like when we look at peace, like biblically, right? So eirene, that's the Greek word, eirene, which for peace. But it's derived from the word aero, Meaning to join or to tie together into a whole. It's
W-H-
so,
W-H-O-L-E.
yes, yeah. Not throw into a hole, not to gather in a hole. Lord, we're here gathered in this hole, like you
In this
told us,
hole, right?
so we could have peace. It's a cave. That's a hole, right?
Fun with homophones.
But it's bundled like a bundle of sticks. Bundled together, bundle of firewood, bundled together as a whole. And just, it's all there, everything. And so, again, so I guess for me, the peace of God is, and part of that is the acknowledging and the experiencing of us being joined together with God. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We're joint heirs in the kingdom.
Right.
So even on our worst day, even on our hardest day, even when the whole, even when our life is falling apart around us, and we're still joined to God, we can have that peace. I think that's, for me, that's, it's deep. It's deep.
Yeah.
It's an, it's the anchor. And maybe if you made that picture, it's like, the ship is getting tossed, but the anchor's gonna hold.
Yeah.
So,
The anchor holds.
yeah, I know. Yeah, I just came up with that.
Yeah. That's right, Brad.
No. Yeah,
You
it's a great analogy,
that's right. You witnessed it here, folks. Brad had the first original thought of that particular metaphor in all of human existence. So then, Brad, let me ask you this. I don't want to to chase too much of a tangent here, but this is a question that I think that I have danced around a lot of times, but it just occurred to me how to vocalize. When you think about, say, a topic like this, right? So we're talking about clinging to God's peace, and discussing it through not the absence of obstacles and suffering, but the presence of Jesus in the midst of storms. Do you think about it differently as Brad and as a pastor? How often, Brad, does your humanity take this type of topic and experience it in a different way than the way that you would translate it as a pastor? Does that make sense?
Sorta.
Because if not, I can, because if not, I can edit this out.
Well, no, I. So, let me say this, and I don't know. Maybe it's an answer to your question. Maybe it's not. The sermons on Sunday are just as much for me as they are for anybody else, and sometimes more, I think, for me. And sometimes, I think I get it in advance. And sometimes I have to be reminded, and I've said this before. I couldn't count the times where your sister has looked at me and going, I heard a sermon about that recently. Maybe you should go listen to it. Kind of, the implication is, hey, remember what
Right.
you preached on Sunday?
Go
And
review your notes.
yeah, and again, I think for me, that's just the proof of the pudding that, like, look, I get to be the mouthpiece to speak what God has said and God's truth while I'm learning it with everybody else, while I'm having to remember it. So in that sense, there is kind of sometimes that separation between Brad who is preaching and Brad who is
Experiencing.
being preached to
Yeah,
by himself
right.
or by the Holy Spirit,
Yeah.
and sometimes I think I get it double, it's like, okay, leading up to this, knowing I was preaching it, God's hitting me with it. And then in the middle of the sermon, I mean, I don't know if anybody ever knows because, I don't have these crazy inflections in my face like
Yeah,
some
right.
people,
Yeah,
but
no, that's dude, that's true.
there's
Yeah.
definitely times during a sermon when like God just hits me with something in the sermon that I wasn't expecting.
Right.
It's like, and so as someone standing in front of everybody, I feel like everybody just saw that. But for everybody else, it was probably just, I just paused a second and
Yeah,
went
right.
on. Nothing like, okay,
I
there.
really appreciate how Pastor Brad, like, every now and then he'll pause because it tells me that he's being really intuitive or he's being really sensitive to the words that he's saying. No, what's happening is Brad's going, wow. Yeah, I guess I do
Yeah, when
that.
sometimes Brad's going, that's not fair, God. Did you have to point that out right now?
In front of everybody, come on.
Right. In public. In public. It's a private conversation in public. Yeah. So let me
Oh,
ask
that's funny.
you
Yeah.
something. So peace and storm. What do you think you would have done? And I kind of turned a corner a little bit, but what do you
Yeah.
think you would have done if you were one of the apostles in the boat in the storm while Jesus is taking a nap?
Oh gosh,
What
yeah.
does DJ do?
To be honest, knowing my personality and so, and to give you a little bit of context as to why I'm going this direction, there's only been one time in my life where I have actually been, I'm going to use the word scared. I haven't been terrified, but there's only been one time
Just
where I've been
once, you were only
just
scared
once, just,
once in
yeah,
your whole
like,
life. That is incredible.
oh,
Like,
dude,
wow.
yeah, you didn't know this about me, did you?
Yeah, wow,
Yeah.
you are so brave.
Yeah. That's bulletproof right there, baby.
That's right.
Yeah.
Can't wait to
No.
hear about this one time when you were scared.
No, there's only been one time where I've been scared, like in a boat on water. And out of nowhere, it was actually on Kentucky Lake. Listeners, one of the things that Brad and my dad and I love to do is go fishing. And we go fishing on Kentucky Lake. And if you're ever in the area, go check out Kentucky Lake if you're a fisherman. Really, really good fishing waters. But Brad, Dad, and I were fishing. I was back in high school, and out of nowhere, a storm, and it wasn't a huge one. It is big enough. Storm just really came out of nowhere, and excuse me, and I saw the waves react. Like it was, I mean, it was a breezy day. It wasn't still and calm, but I mean, it was very workable. And when the storm came up, in less than 5 minutes' time, we went from just sort of, if it's, I don't know if you'd call them waves necessarily, but if the, if the water's just kind of tossing your boat sort of here and there to probably 3 foot, 4 foot waves in five minutes' time. It was really nowhere, or no time at all. And Dad was driving, and I could tell that Dad was scared. But what was I doing? I was not about to stand up. What was I trying to do? I was actually trying to A, keep my own balance, and B, try to figure out, all right, which way is the boat going to go? So I'm going to try to almost counterbalance to make sure that there's enough weight that if we hit the water wrong, it'll be fine. So to answer your question, Brad, what do I see myself doing? First of all, I have no idea how bad this storm was, but clearly it's worse than I can imagine, I would think.
let me put it this way, okay? Four of those guys on that boat were
Yeah.
seasoned fishermen,
Yeah, I'm afraid that
and
was their
they are
job.
scared. And they're scared. So
In that case,
that's a pretty storm, pretty big storm.
it's a big storm. It's bigger than the one that I've ever
Yeah.
experienced. So what would I do? I think I would keep my butt in its seat and then just hold on for dear life. I don't think actually in this case, and I don't know if you've ever heard of anybody think about it this way, but I don't think that I would have been brave enough to stand up and go to Jesus. Like I don't really think I would have been able to do that. But to that point, I'm not a seasoned fisherman, right?
Yeah.
I don't live on the water. But I would I have thought, are like we're going to die? I mean, I may have thought, I mean, this is gonna happen. This sucks, I guess. Like I don't know what I would have done. But again, knowing my personality, I think like I would do whatever I could to try to contribute to controlling the situation. Again, like I said, with that day in the boat, okay, if we're coming down to the right on this wave, I need to lean to the left or whatever the case is. My personality, I don't think that I would have joined in the communal freaking out. You know what I mean? I don't see myself, I don't see myself fueling that fire. What about you though?
Well, I
What
would
would
have
you have done?
probably more internally than externally. I tend to be like take charge in those situations, but again, ADHD, anxiety, all that stuff, right? People who don't deal with that, who are now dealing with that,
Right.
are trying to have to figure out how to deal with that. As someone who deals with those things like very regularly, it's like, oh, it's just another day. We just amped it up a little bit. I don't know. I think there's a lot that just depends on what happened before, if I'm honest.
That's
Like,
fair.
Jesus is sleeping in the boat. I mean, I think part of me would side with Jesus, don't you even care? Like, what? Like, how are you sleeping? How are you sleeping during a storm?
Right.
But I definitely think I would have been one that would have went and woke him up. Now, the question is, would it have been like, hey, Jesus, save us? Or, hey, Jesus, like, we're going to die?
Yeah.
Or, hey, Jesus, I can't believe you're sleeping.
Right.
Like, I don't know. But I think that I would have been one, even if it was yelling across the boat, Jesus,
Yeah.
Jesus, get up.
Yeah, like
I think I would have acknowledged, on some level, hey, we need Jesus to be being Jesus, which he is, but he's sleeping. So, right? So, like, well, he's obviously not aware of all of this. He's not.
yeah.
I think when Jesus lay down to take the nap, he knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew the storm was coming.
Right.
He controls the storms. He gets up and he rebukes the storm afterwards, and the storm goes quiet. And now they're more afraid. Now they're instead of being afraid, like what?
Well,
Nobody
yeah.
saw that one coming.
So actually, let's see. No. Yeah. So to that point, and this is something that and as you mentioned, I think it does depend, you're right, contextually, what has happened before. Because when you said, four of these guys were seasoned fishermen, like that was their profession. The part of me that kind of doesn't believe the assumption. Because I've never heard anybody say it this way, but I just can't believe the assumption that this storm just appeared. Like storms don't do that. So the four fishermen I would have assumed would have seen something like this coming. Now, how fast it came on, that's a different
Right,
thing,
because
but the
storms do come on quicker,
quicker.
than we think.
Right.
Yeah, well, I think they're doing their stuff, right? They're doing what they know to do
Right.
to keep
Yeah.
them safe, but it's not working.
Yeah. And this is something that the more that I've read it, the more profound and almost terrifying, if I can use that word, that it becomes after Jesus calmed the storm, right? And it became calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" Now, my question, I'm going to press pause because my question is not like, did Jesus just end it there and just kind of give him this? Like, this isn't a rhetorical question, guys. I need your answer. Or did he, or was it like this?
Did they need
Where's
to
your
wake him
faith?
up?
And then did he go back and take a nap? Like, did he go back to sleep? Like, where's your faith?
Was Jesus grumpy in the morning? Or was Jesus grumpy when you woke him up from a nap? And there's like, he
Yeah,
looked at
don't
the
do
storm and
that.
he looked at the storm and said, "Shut up."
That's
And it went,
right.
"Sorry, sir. Sorry. Didn't realize we were interrupting your nap."
Yeah, my bad.
And the wind and the waves just went, whoo,
Well, here's the
like,
thing
"We're
that
gonna
gets
know him
me.
in trouble with daddy."
I know every time that I read this, again, as the older I get, the more profound this becomes. The disciples said to each other, "Who then is this guy
Who's yeah.
who commands even the winds and water and they obey him?" So, hang on. Like, again, I'm gonna put it in, how would DJ say this?
Yeah.
Who the heck is this guy that when he commands the winds and the water, they obey him? like that caveat they obey him is not this dude's a lunatic yelling at the weather. I do that. And the weather looks at me and it's like, you little peon.
When Jesus says, let it snow, it snows.
That's right. Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
boom.
When I say let it snow, the weather goes, oh, okay, well, we'll have 70 degrees tomorrow. You know, it's the okay, you tell me what to do, I will spite you. But
It's
it's the disciples didn't know.
so the question that with that conversation, right, with Jesus saying, hey guys, where's your faith?
Yeah.
So what is he saying? What is he saying? Did they not need to wake Jesus up?
That's, dude, that's deep right there, man. Like, where's
You
your
know, and
faith?
the question is
You
too,
could
is
have done
like
that.
Jesus was,
Could I?
I mean,
No, I
because
can't.
Jesus is probably not telling them, hey, just stop trying
Right,
and
right.
just let the boat sink.
I don't think, yeah, that's
But
right.
they're with the Son of God. When the Son of God is in your boat, do you need to be afraid of the boat sinking? Even what it looks like. And I go to Peter walking on the water, right? He sees the wind and the waves.
He
He
sees
sees them.
like
He sees them.
Brad, I have often visualized what on earth wind looks like. And I have, and clearly I know this is obvious. There's nothing profound about it, but I have no earthly idea what the heck wind looks like. And I didn't know it looked, you know, like, but yeah, you're right. Peter saw the wind. Gosh, that's amazing.
And so, it's crazy. And I don't have an answer. Like,
Right.
right. I just
Yeah.
have
No.
questions. Like, I don't know 100%. Like I can sit here and go, well, I think probably, but because the other question is when Jesus is saying, hey, do you have faith? Was he saying, hey, did you even talk to my dad about it?
Right. Well,
Like you could have just said, hey, Father, will you calm this storm? Would you have calmed it?
I think that this is
We're like the apostles in one
yeah.
sense in the
Right.
story. We're
Yes.
experiencing it without all the answers.
Right. Well,
Now, like Jesus, what do you mean by that?
in the defense of the disciples, though, I think this gives us really, really accurate insight into who they saw Jesus as actually being. I think they saw him just as another rabbi. Now, I think they probably knew that he was radical in comparison to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But like, what would make them say, who the heck is this guy that he commands even the winds and the water and they obey him? Or
And I would disagree with you. I don't think they saw him just another rabbi. I think they saw him as the Messiah. I
okay.
think they had their own ideas of what that meant.
Okay. I think that's legit.
I think they thought that he was going to be an earthly Messiah and set up an earthly kingdom,
So
right?
they were still looking
He
for
was going
the
to be
Jewish,
David.
the Jew,
He
yeah,
was,
right,
but he was
okay.
going to be like a super David.
Right.
Like as awesome as David was, Saul killed his thousands and David is 10,000s and Jesus is 150,000s,
Right. Yeah.
kind of like he was just going to be this awesome king. They've obviously seen him do miracles. So he has the power of God. So I just think they're figuring out who he is. But I think they knew he was more. And I say that because Peter's interaction with him when Jesus does the whole miracle kind of deal with the fish, or at least he looks at it that way as kind of
You
a
talking about
miracle.
the are you talking about the coin
No, I'm talking
or the
about like
net?
when he tells them to cast the net on the other side and they
Right.
cast it and it's,
Oh, and that's the at the calling of Peter.
right. And Peter
Yes,
falls
yeah.
on his knees and goes, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. Like
That's
you
true.
can't be
That's
around
true.
me.
That's true.
I think about Nathaniel. Truly, this is, the Messiah. Because, oh, you said this because you saw me, or I said, I saw you under the fig tree. Well, you're going to see greater things than this.
Right.
So I think they are doing, in one sense, what we do a lot. At least, like, I don't know anybody that's not guilty of this on some level, which is putting God in a box and limiting him. I mean, sure, God can do that, but we're like, this is, you don't just tell the storm to shut up and calm down, and it
Yeah,
does
right.
it.
And it does. Yeah.
And so I think they're seeing these things, and every piece is just helping them to see more and more who Jesus is. But it's terrifying,
Yeah.
right? Because,
It is
well,
terrifying.
here is Jesus, who's a guy who needs to take a nap. But yet, so there's this humanity, but yet he wakes up and he rebukes the storm and somewhat rebukes his apostles. Like, and I'm with you, DJ. Did he lay back down and finish his nap? I don't know. All
Like,
right, hey, now that everything's quiet,
yeah, right.
can you guys be quiet too?
Right.
And like, I tell the
Feel
wind and waves to be quiet,
free
they're
to join me,
quiet.
you know?
Right. I tell the wind and waves to be quiet, they're quiet. I tell the demons they can't speak, they don't speak. So could you
That's
guys
right. For some reason or another.
just for a little while, just let me have a nap. Okay? I'd appreciate it.
That's
Thank
funny.
you.
That's true, man.
Yeah, but again, peace. So the reality is they didn't have to lose their peace at any point because they're with Jesus.
Yeah.
But they did in one sense because they were afraid. Because fear can start to steal our peace. What gets me is God sent them into that storm. He went with them, but he sent them into the storm. Nobody's going to calm it. Like,
Gosh, dude,
but when we can,
this is really deep
well, it is,
because
because I mean, I think, again, peace, love, joy, love, joy, peace. Those are
right.
huge,
What I'm coming back
hope, faith,
to,
love.
Brad, what I'm coming back to is your insinuation of where is your faith?
I don't think that was my insinuation. I think it was Jesus's.
Well, but no. Like when I no 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 the way that I know you're right.
No,
Yeah. Yeah, I know that I know
I'm with the rest of the
you're
guys
not
on that
writing
one.
this. Yeah, I get
Like,
that.
I don't know. I don't know. Can you tell me where to find it?
No, what I meant though is the way that you were thinking, the frame of mind that you were in when you said, and he said to them, "Where is your faith?" I had never considered this until you said that. Was in fact Jesus telling them, "Guys, you didn't have to wake me up. You could have done this." Like, I want to be very, very transparent right now. That thought does not compute.
What
You
again?
know what I
Okay,
mean?
but
Like
well,
my brain rejects it.
Elijah was a man like us, and he prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months
Oh my gosh, I
until
just
he prayed that it would
God.
rain.
Yeah.
And then it did.
Yeah.
So now our prayer has to be in line with God's will.
Right.
But
Yeah.
we can deduce, I think, safely make the implication that God's will for his apostles was not to drown in the sea that day.
Right. And I think that's also fair. Like I certainly am not trying to superimpose
Yeah.
a truth that's not there, but at the same
Yeah.
time, I mean, we don't know, based on the text, we don't know
I'm going to tell you, and I don't know this for sure, but with the kind of MO that I have put together in my brain with people like Peter, right? I bet he tried it later.
Oh, oh, dude, you know he had to have,
Be quiet.
Cloud, go away.
Yeah, just a little
Cloud,
one.
I want that one though to look like a dinosaur. I want this one,
Yeah, yeah.
like Brontosaurus.
I think about him walking on water, and I think, I bet every time he walked by a puddle, every time he looked at the sea, he thought about that. I wonder how
So
many times that he stepped into a puddle and been like, psh, oh
So
man.
I want to rehash this because it just popped in my mind. And listeners, if you'll remember a couple episodes, several episodes ago, Brad and I were sort of recapping our Christmas experience, and how Brad was under the weather and I had the flu. But I like, dude, I was hurling, and I heard my son praying with my two daughters and my wife. I heard my son saying, "Dear God, please don't let Daddy get sick anymore." Now, the flu didn't go away, but I did not actually get sick, like the like you know, vomit. And then he prayed later on that day, "Dear God, please let us go and see Uncle B and Aunt Babby, Carrie Beth and Isaiah and Hannah." And the day before and 3 days after, I felt like complete junk. But that day, I believe, holy Brad, skeptics out there, if you're listening to this, I don't care what you have to say. Sorry, but not right now, that I felt good enough, not just to be able to get out of the house, but to spend what, 2.5, 3 hours with you guys, including eating a meal, a Christmas meal. There is no other explanation that I can come to except that God heard Noah's prayer. And Noah didn't, I don't, I, I'm gonna say this, I'm gonna be bold enough to say this, Brad, that Noah did not pray that just simply flippantly hoping that God will say, "Yeah, you know what, I got time for that." But rather that he heard Noah praying, knowing that God was going to answer his prayer.
Faith of a child.
And I think that right there relates directly to what everything that we're talking about. Like, what is the peace of God? I'm going to be honest. I don't have the kind of peace, the kind of faith, or how do I say this right? Again, I'm trying to put ducks in a row here. I don't have the kind of faith that brings about the kind of peace that lets me be able to still walk around with my chest puffed out, thinking, "Yeah, right now I'm not doing too great, but God's got me." Like, I don't have that on a 24-hour basis.
I keep coming back to this faith, right? Faith. What's faith? Believe in God. Believe in God. He is who he said he is. Believing he can do what he said he can do. Believing he's going to do what he said he will do. And that he's done what he said he did. Believe in God. I think sometimes there's so many things that we get caught up in. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to do this as a Christian. I got to do this. I don't do that. Don't do this. Do this. Do that. That one of the biggest things to the apostles, to others, ultimately to us, the guy goes, is faith. Believe me. How do we get saved? We believe God. We turn to him in repentance. We believe him. We confess him. Like through. By faith, by grace you are saved through faith.
And not works of
Yeah,
myself.
not of works. So, God wants us to believe. What if we believed him more? What if we believed him? He tells us to be like little children. I think one of the most surprising things for our kids probably is that we teach them to trust God a lot more than
Keep
probably
going, Brad.
sometimes we,
I know
yeah,
where you're
than we
going.
actually trust God.
Yeah, that's right.
No, that's safe to drink. Well, why aren't you drinking it? Not only is it safe, it's good. Can you trust God too much? No, you can't. So why don't we? And again, I think it's the daily bread, right? The daily bread. I don't want daily bread, if I'm honest. I want yearly bread. I want decadely bread.
Decadely bread.
I want storehouses of bread. I want to know the bread is there, right? But I'm supposed to trust God for my daily bread as the provider, which is faith, because I've got to say, I know that the provider of bread is going to give me my daily bread.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean I sit on my sofa and go, can't wait for the bread delivery.
Where's the
Yeah,
manna?
where's it at? I mean, right, even with the man in the wilderness, they had to go get it.
Right.
They go pick it up. I think some of us, we're missing out on our blessings, we're missing out on our peace because we need to go pick it up. And then for some of us, I think we're trying to outrun it. I mean, I think again, 23rd Psalm, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in
Right.
the house of the Lord forever. Right. So they're gonna pursue me. So in a sense, if we belong to God, God's peace is pursuing us. And hey, even if you're out there and you don't belong to God yet, you haven't been saved, you feel that drawing, you feel God tugging. Yeah, that's his peace pursuing you because he wants you to be part of his family.
Yeah.
He wants to forgive you for your sins. He wants to save you because you can't save yourself. And he wants, forever. I mean, it's. I didn't plan on this. Let me just pull this up and just share this. And I probably my final thought. Probably not. I'm
It'll
past it.
actually, no, it'll need to be because I teach in 7 minutes.
No way. No, we're gonna have to go another, four score and
I'll
7
just
years.
send an email to my students.
Sorry,
Yeah, I'm gonna get
podcast went long.
I'm still going to give you the test. I'm just not gonna be there, so good luck.
I just gonna tell you that they would not be upset at all if you didn't show up on the day of the test, or most of them probably wouldn't. Let's see if I can find it. I don't have it. Yes. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Go. Jeremiah 31.
19,
Actually, 20.
20. I was close. Okay.
We were close. That's actually pretty, like, I'm kind of like, wow. Ooh, how did you know that? Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a delightful child? Indeed. As often as I have spoken against him, I certainly still remember him. Therefore, my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, declares the Lord. I love that. Because God goes, Ephraim, you sin. I had to bring judgment against you. I had to say these things. I had to call you out on your crap. But I love you. And not only do I love you, but my heart yearns for you. I want you to be. Like, I want you to abide in me. I want to be able to pour out my blessings on you. And that's like I want for you to be close to me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible. That's
And
incredible.
that's and I and you know and as a closing thought, that I'm speaking both from personal experience and concept, and it oscillates depending on like how stupid or how awesome I am. But like the closer you get to God, the more peace you're going to have. Again, it's not the lack of obstacles, because life is life.
I mean,
But
I would argue the closer you get to God, probably the more
the more
obstacles.
obstacles. I mean, it's yeah, it very, very, very could be true. Very well could be
But
true.
I think as well as what you said, but the greater peace.
Yeah, the greater the peace.
And you learn that those obstacles don't have the power to steal your peace
Yeah.
when you're with God.
All right, so I gotta land the plane because I gotta get out of here. But to that point, great app, listeners. Thank you for hanging out with us, for tuning in. Remember, like and subscribe and share the show. You know where you can go. Anywhere to get your podcast. Again, if you're watching this on YouTube,
And you
please
see
give
my
us a like and a subscribe. Yeah,
broad range of
yeah,
emotions that I
that's right.
show
That's
throughout the
no doubt. That's
show.
right. Yes.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Get in contact with us. You can email us at menchurchstuff@gmail.com. You can also follow us on our Facebook group page, Men Church Stuff. You can follow us on Instagram if you want, at Men Church Stuff. But beyond that, Brad, I love you, buddy.
Love you too. Go enjoy
Listeners,
giving a test.
I know, dude, I'm going to.
You tester.
I know. Listeners, we love you, and we will catch you next time.
Bye-bye now.